Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll be looking mainly at verses 15 through verse 18 of this portion of Scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through verse 18. Have you ever gotten tired? Have you ever gotten worn out? Have you ever felt like you were going to faint? Who's ever felt like they were going to faint before? Some of you have been out in the heat of the sun sometimes, and you get that heat exhaustion, and that sets in, and you feel like you're just ready to pass out, ready to faint. How many are scared of getting your blood taken? How many have fainted before getting your blood taken? Anybody in here? And that they go, and you're afraid of that needle for something. I could see you, Brian, being scared of a needle. And you go in, and they have this needle that's like this big, but your mind thinks it's this big. And you go in. How many are scared of shots? Be honest. Oh, you guys are wimps. And you get this idea, and you faint in this idea. I want us to look at this morning. I believe many times we get to a place in our lives, spiritually speaking, we get tired. Not just physically tired, but we get spiritually tired. We get to a place in our lives that we think everything we're doing isn't really working. Everything we have tried to accomplish and we've tried to do seems like it just keeps falling apart. It seems like we get to a place, spiritually speaking, we're just ready to just take our white towel flag and wave it and say, all right, I'm done. I quit. Ready to throw in that towel and just be done with things. We get to a place that we're just exhausted, spiritually speaking. And I believe many believers get to this place of discouragement in their lives. They get to a place they become discouraged. Now, I know many times in church, we get preached at so much, and we hear things, and we hear how we are to live and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live our lives, that sometimes we get discouraged. Now, it's not supposed to discourage us. It's supposed to encourage us. It's supposed to serve as a tool to wake us up and for us to see what we need to do to be able to get right with God and start serving God and how we ought to. But even sometimes some things that we need in our lives aren't always what we want in our lives. How many, you know you need certain things in your life, but you don't always want it? How many of you remember when your parents told you you needed your vegetables? And how many of you young people, now some young people, especially my kids, they do love their vegetables. That's a good thing. But most young people, Brendan, do you like vegetables? You don't like vegetables? You need help. Amen. But has your parents told you you need vegetables? Why? Because you need those in your body. You need those in you. But many times we know what we need, but we don't always want what we need. Same as vegetables. You need vegetables, but you don't always want to eat those vegetables. Now, as a baby, I don't think I would want the vegetables that they get either, all right? I tell you, I think we torture our babies by giving them that stuff in a can or jar that, I mean, you open it up and the smell enough is enough to knock you down. But we get to a place we get discouraged and spiritually discouraged. Sometimes in life. Sometimes it's because we don't think we can ever get to the place that we need to be spiritually. Sometimes we set such a picture in our mind how we're supposed to be living and what we're supposed to be doing. Yes, and it's according to the Word of God. But we get to a place that we think, well, because I'll never get to that place that I think I need to be, I might as well just quit. You know, there's people like that in our world today. Well, if I can't ace a test, I might as well not just take the test. Oh, if I can't do this, I'm not going to do it. No, we got to continue. And we're going to see this morning this idea of don't faint. Don't quit. As we look at this portion of Scripture, Paul is going to give us some keys in regards to staying encouraged in the race that we're in. In our spiritual race, he's going to give us some keys in this portion of scripture for us to stay encouraged, to stay on that road, to stay going forward as we ought. If you're able to, please stand with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 15 through verse 18. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. And for this portion of scripture, we ask as we look at this portion this morning, you would show us the truths that we should glean this morning, and how we can apply them to our hearts and to our lives and be encouraged and different because of it. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Look again with me, verse 16. I want us to first see this morning the challenge. The challenge. As we look at this idea of not fainting, don't faint, don't quit, don't lose heart, don't give in. Look with me in verse 16. We see the challenge that is given. For which cause we faint not. The word faint here carries the idea of falling of the heart. It carries the idea of losing heart. Fainting, of quitting, come to that place. It's in the present tense active voice, which means I never lose heart. Paul says, for this cause, I never lose heart. This cause, I'm never going to quit. This cause, I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to go in. Now, he's going to give us what his challenge is. His challenge is that we don't quit, that he's not going to quit, that he's not going to faint. Then later on, he's going to give us the keys to be able to do this. You know, Paul's life was anything but easy. But Paul says, I'm not going to faint. Look at 2 Corinthians if you want, verse 1, verse 8. We'll see a little bit of Paul's life. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of your trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. 2 Corinthians 11, 23-29. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, and that which come upon me daily, the care of all churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn not. Even with those things, Paul said he didn't faint. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't get to the place that he lost heart. Paul went through some things far greater than you and I have ever or will ever go through. And as we read just a glimpse of some of those things in 2 Corinthians there, it gives us that picture, the idea, but you know the shipwrecks, you know the beatings, you know what Paul went through in his life. But Paul says, of all those things, I did not faint. Can you say I've never gotten discouraged? I don't think we can. I believe if most of us are honest, most of us could say, there's been times in my life that I fainted, spiritually speaking. I've lost heart. This whole idea of fainting or losing heart is getting to a place that you're just kind of down in the depths of the deep blue sea. You're just kind of just coasting along, trying to somehow make it out, trying to make it through. But Paul was able to get through life without life getting him. Many times we allow life to get us instead of getting through life with the help of God. We allow life to get us down. We allow life to get us. And this whole idea of discouragement, and sometimes even falls into depression. Many individuals fall into depression, and some say, well, it's always a spiritual thing. It's not always a spiritual thing. But I do believe sometimes spiritual plays a role in it sometimes in our lives. And sometimes we've gotten down and discouraged and even depressed because we have fainted in our life living for God. I wish we could say we've never been discouraged. You don't have to raise your hand, but I believe many of us have asked this morning, again, you don't have to admit this out and about this morning, but how many of you say you were discouraged even this last week? You got down, and I'm not talking just because of certain things, but more on the spiritual realm, that you got discouraged spiritually. Maybe because you know how you ought to be living, and you gave in to temptation this week. And because you gave in temptation, you become discouraged. And we're going to look at what causes the discouragement in a few moments. We looked at this thought here of not fainting. This idea of this challenge of not to faint. But also, there's not just the challenge of not to faint, but I want us to see the struggle. I want us to see the struggle that Paul is going to identify with and Paul's going to talk about. He says, I didn't faint. And Paul went through a lot of things, some of the things you and I have gone through, and some a whole lot worse than we're going to go through. But he says, I faint not. Secondly, look with me in the last part of verse 16, the struggle. For which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He says, even though the outward man perishes, I have not fainted. What's this idea of the outward man perishing? That word perishing is the same word that carries the idea of corruption. In other verses, if you look at other verses that use about being corrupted or being destroyed, it carries that idea there. It says the outer man is being destroyed. It's being corrupted. How many know that your outer man is falling apart? It's funny, I helped Judy in this morning, and she said something to me. She goes, it's not fun getting old. It's not fun getting old. Because what happens for those out here that are old? Now, most of you are old. Some of us are still young. And as you look, it's nice being young. Right? Isn't it, Brendan? Nice being young? No. Someday you wish you were young again. But as you get old, what happens to your body? How many thought when you were 15, 16 years old that you ever have issues with your back? How many thought when you were 15, 16 years old that you would not be able to do some of the things you thought you would be able to do the rest of your life? How many were able to be in activities and be able to do things? Now today, you're glad you can just watch them on TV and you don't have to do them anymore because your body can't handle it anymore, right? And your body starts to fall apart. How many, you were very intelligent at one time and you were sharp as could be at one time? Now be honest. And now you don't tell anyone, but you notice some simple things that you used to be able to do with your mind doesn't work as it used to. And now, be honest. Raise your hand, Rich. I know. Come on. And it starts, and it does. It's not meaning you're bad. It just means your brain, even your brain, starts to decrease a little bit. It starts to go down. And you don't always remember everything as you should. Some of you, you were great at memorizing at one time. Some of us never were good at memorizing. You were great at memorizing. Now, you can't memorize anything. How many are like that? All right. How many could read a book and you read the book and then as soon as you're done, you could be quizzed and you knew everything that book said? Now you could read that book 20 times and you still don't know what it says. And as the outer man is perishing, it's going, it's being destroyed. It's being destroyed by the fallen nature. It's being destroyed by fallen man. That is happening. It is going. We don't have to be defeated. And just because the outer man is perishing in regards to our physical body, we don't have to faint. We don't have to quit. You see, there's sometimes spiritually speaking, because our outer man is falling apart, we say, well, that's an excuse. That's a reason for me to stop living for God. It's a reason for me to get discouraged in my Christian life. Now, I can't go door to door like I used to. I can't do that because I'm physically unable. But it doesn't mean you have to faint and you have to quit. It means you can keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ and living for God. See, the issue is this. We get to a place. Paul says, it doesn't matter any of the physical things that I face. Doesn't matter that my outer body is being destroyed. I am not going to quit. I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to lose heart. I'm going to continue. Sometimes we're all guilty. We use simple sicknesses or a body, outer body perishing as reasons to stop. I can't do everything that I probably was able to do at one time in my life, but it doesn't mean I quit. I remember when I first started in the ministry, 20 years ago now, I remember I had a little more excitement than I do now. Can you believe that? I'm a little tamer now than I used to be. I tell you, I used to, those that have been here 17 years, there was a day that I would jump off this platform. But I know now, I don't jump off that platform anymore. I'm not as young as I used to be. Yesterday, they had a birthday party for Logan for his 18th birthday. And Reagan was there, and they were just in the pool. And they got out, got dressed, they were going to leave. So I decided I was going to pick Reagan up, and I was going to throw her with her clothes back in the pool. So I picked her up, and I'm on this concrete patio, and on this concrete patio is this canopy that has little legs. So I picked Reagan up, I turned around and went running, and I was going to take her to the pool. I tripped over the canopy leg, and there's concrete goes out quite a bit. So I did not want Reagan to hit the concrete. So I took her and I heaved her as much as I could so she could land on the grass. And I went down and I laid down. In the old days, I could get right back up and move. I just lay there for a few minutes. And I thought, this hurts. I remember other times I've fallen. It didn't hurt anymore. But it hurt this time. See, the outer man starts to perish. Now, Reagan, younger, I think she bounced. I mean, next thing I know, she's up and running around and all fine. She had this look of death on her face when I threw her, but then afterwards, she just bounced in that. The outer man is going to fall apart. Your flesh is going to fall apart. It's being destroyed every day. You're not getting younger. You're getting older. Your body is going to deteriorate in the sense that there's a day coming we're all going to die. It's the point a man wants to die. We're going to face death. And as we have this in mind, we cannot allow that to detract us from being encouraged and living for God and not fainting. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to become a statistic. We don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. We don't have to be one of those people that used to go to church. We don't have to be one of those people that used to be faithful. We don't have to faint spiritually speaking. Doesn't matter what's happened in this world. See, part of it is our fallen nature, but part of it is what has happened in our world today. And you look around us, many times we allow that to get us to faint. We look around and we say, well, this world is so wicked. This world is so wicked. And all the wickedness that has happened in this world, because of that, we're going to faint. No, we don't have to faint. And we don't have to faint because our body's deteriorating. We don't have to faint because this world's deteriorating. We don't have to quit. We need to stand stronger than ever because this world's deteriorating. We need to be a burning light in this world. And we need not to faint. How many get discouraged when you watch the news? I tell you, I used to try to watch the news more than we do, because every time I watch the news, it just seems like it just zaps you. It takes out to you. You hear about all the things that are happening. You know, I know we need to be aware of what's going on. I understand that. But I tell you, it gets discouraging as you read and you see what is allowed in certain cities. You hear what is allowed in different places. And you hear about how this governor and this mayor and this individual is allowing this and allowing that and pushing for this and pushing for that. And you hear about this Hollywood so-called star is doing this and doing that. And you hear about all this stuff. And it gets discouraging. And it gets a point that we allow this world to get us to a place that we faint. Spiritually speaking, we get to a place that we say, well, it's just not worth the fight anymore. It's just not worth going anymore. And we've gotten discouraged that way. See, that's the struggle. The challenge is don't faint. The struggle is our flesh, our body in this world is deteriorating. It's going to affect us. But I want us to look at verse 17 and verse 18 and the remainder of the time we have. And I want us to look at the key of not fainting, the key of not fainting. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction. The first key is to realize in light of eternity, our affliction is light. The first key is to realize our affliction is light. Paul went through some heavy stuff. He went through some hard stuff in his life. But he says, for our light affliction. That word affliction is the word trial or trouble. For our light trial, our light trouble, our light affliction. We have to keep this in mind. He realized that his afflictions, his trials were light. Well, how is his trials light? The key is to realize what you're facing isn't that big of a deal. To realize that what you're going through in light of eternity doesn't really amount to much. Now, that's hard sometimes because we live at the here and now. When you're going through a hard time in your life, it's very hard for us to look past that mountain, isn't it? All we see is the mountain. Several years ago, it's probably been about 12, 13 years ago, we did a men's camping trip. Brother Dick, you probably remember this. And we went up to Hell's Canyon area, Dave, and we were taking our trail down where we needed to go. And some of us got this great idea that we were going to walk the rest of the way because it didn't look too far. Jamie, you were there too, weren't you? And we thought it wasn't that big a deal. And I let some older people, see, this is the problem with older teaching the younger. I let some older people influence me in the negative way. And I listened to them, and we decided to walk down this. Let me tell you, it didn't look that far. But as I started going down, and started going down, and started going down, and started going down, and realized I'm not even halfway down. And then I get a stick. I think Brother Jamie, you helped me pull it out. A stick actually went through the bottom of my shoe into my foot, and we had to pull it out. As we started going down in this, realize this is never going to end. Never going to get to the place. Because all I saw was my mountain. But once I realized there's a path down there, and I focused on that path, the rest of the way got easy. I didn't worry about what was behind me. I was focused on what was before me. And I saw that path. I saw where I had to get. And it no longer mattered of the mountain. You know what we do? We keep looking at the mountain. We keep looking how heavy it is. We keep looking at how much struggles we're going through and how hard it is and what the problem is we're going through in our lives and what we're facing. And we realize all that. He says, my light affliction. And it was light because he did not focus on his mountain. It was light because he allowed Christ to carry his affliction. See, the key is to realize our affliction is light. We can't focus on our affliction, and we must allow Christ to carry our affliction. We must allow him to carry it. Oh, we know those verses that cast our cares. We know the verses we give everything to God. We know we need to put him first. We know all those verses. We can quote them. We can tell them. We can say them. But the idea is this. When we are going through that discouragement time, that hard time in our lives, that affliction time in our lives, we must allow God to carry those afflictions. That's when it becomes light. That's when our yoke becomes easy. That's when we're able to handle what we're facing because we give it to him. You see, look again in verse 17, for our light affliction. Now get this, which is but for a moment. The other key is to realize it's short. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, the last part. For the things which are seen are temporal. You see, they're but for a moment, and they're temporal. It means it's not going to last forever. It means what you're going through has a time of ending. Now, how many have gone through things that you never thought it would end? You thought there was never a way out. How many of you ever been in a cave or a tunnel, and you never thought you'd get out of it? In Israel, there is Hezekiah's tunnel. Brother Dick, you remember Hezekiah's tunnel? And Brother Dick is a tall man, and Hezekiah's tunnel is very small and narrow, and there's not a much room. I've never seen anyone get through Hezekiah's tunnel the way Brother Dick did. One leg was here, one arm was here, one's there, and he kind of just slid through Hezekiah's tunnel. You remember that, Brother Dick? But I tell you, as a more chubby individual, it's not as easy either. Because there's not as much room. Brother Dick could at least spread out and do this. You can't spread this out and do that, okay? So as you're going through the tunnel of Hezekiah's tunnel, there was a couple times I thought I was stuck. I said, I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. And water's still coming, not a lot, but there's still water coming through. Everything's slippery. Everything's that way. And I tell you, it's not that long. But I tell you, I thought it was forever. I thought, this is never going to end. I'm never going to get out of it. I just want to be done. And then in the midst of it, my flashlight quit. And then I'm trying to find where other people are so I can at least have some light. And I said, this is never going to end. I finally get out. I'm finally done. I look back, and the distance we went was not that big. But let me tell you, it felt like I was in there for days. We go through some of the trials, some of the afflictions, and we start to faint. We start to quit and throw up the flag because we don't see it as temporal or for a moment. We think it's going to last forever. We think it's going to be our whole life. But it's not. It's but for a moment in regards to eternity. Why? Because one day, even if you have that affliction in your life the rest of your life, most of us are only going to have that affliction even we were born with it to the day we die, probably 80-some years. Some of you, it's shorter. Isaac, maybe 50 years. And it's shorter, but some of it's going to be longer, and you're going to face that. But it's still but for a moment in regards to eternity. See, we have to realize the affliction is light. We have to cast our afflictions. We have to not look at the mountain. We have to realize time is short. We have to realize that it's not going to be forever. One day we'll be in heaven. One day we'll get a new body. One day we're not going to have sorrows and tears and all the afflictions and things that we're facing. One day we're going to be relieved from all that and be with Him. Don't faint because of your afflictions. Another key. And I want you to see this. What was the other key that he saw there? Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This idea of this, what we focus on matters. Do you focus on the eternal or the physical? Paul says, I'm not focused on the physical. I'm focused on the eternal. Now let's be honest this morning. Most of us focus on the physical. I'm not talking just the physical elements that we face of the body deteriorating, but we focus on the physical. We focus on the here and now, what we have to have, and we focus on that. And that affects us, and that's why we faint. But drop up to verse 17. I want you to see this as well. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. Worketh for us. Did you get that? Our light affliction worketh for us. I don't need to focus on the here and now. I need to focus on eternity. As I focus on eternity, I realize my light affliction is for me, not against me. My light affliction is for me, not against me. My trials, my troubles, the things I'm going through are for me. They're not against me. God gives us that strength each day to get through the trials, gives us the strength that we need to get through what we're facing, but we must realize that these trials are there for a reason and for a purpose in our lives. We have to realize that we need to be renewed. We need to be renewed. We need to get what we need in our lives. Verse 16 says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Not only do we realize they're for a purpose, God has them for a reason, God has them in our lives, but we have to realize we need to be renewed every day of our lives. What happens if you don't renew your body with physical elements on a regular basis? You'll deteriorate. What has happened spiritually in our lives? We're not giving what our body needs, and we start to faint in our Christian life. It means you need to feed on the Word of God every day. You need to pray to God every day. You need to fellowship with saints often. You need to be in God's house as much as possible. You need to be studying and digging into His Word. Why? Because we need a fresh supply every day. Those that have gone camping and you've gone for a week or two, you try to plan enough food. But what happens most of the times? Sometimes by the last day, it's leftover after leftover after leftover of something that you had from the first day, right? Unless you go on one of our men's camping trips, then we have enough food for 3 weeks and feed them. But you have to keep, and by the sixth or seventh day of a leftover of a leftover of a leftover, it starts to get kind of nasty, doesn't it? It starts to get to a point that you really don't want to eat it anymore. Some of you, maybe not in camping, you do this at your own home. You cook a big dinner, and then you take the beef. So say you did roast beef in a crock pot. You take that, and that's going to be the meal for the week, right? because you're going to have it as roast. You're going to have it as shredded beef. You're going to put it in tacos. You're going to put it in this and that. But by the time of the end of the week, you're about done with beef, aren't you? Even though you like it, you're done with it. Why? Because we need a fresh. We need to keep getting. Spiritually speaking, we need the fresh supply. We can't go on what we had last week. The key Paul was saying is you can't not faint if you're trying to rely on how you were living weeks before. Let me give this thought. Many people in their spiritual life have been sold out for God at one time of their life. They're living for God. They're doing everything that they should be doing. Affliction comes, trials come, and they start to back off how they're living their life. And as they start to back off, they wonder why they faint. They wonder why they get discouraged. Because you know what they're trying to do? They say, well, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to witness. I used to read my Bible. I used to be faithful to the services. I used to do this and I used to do that. And they're basing upon what they used to do. But they need a fresh supply. We need a fresh supply. What we used to do is not going to keep us going today. You got to keep feeding the fire. You got to keep putting the coal in the fire. Some of you remember the old days of coal, heating with coal. The old church on 2nd Street. Lori, remember this? The old building, the old main church building. And Sarah and Dick and a few others remember this. The old building underneath, they used to have the coal. Dick, you remember? Dick actually fed the coal, didn't you? And he would have to get there. He drove the bus for many, many years. But before he would even drive the bus, he would get there and he would have to put the coal in there. And you have to keep feeding the coal. You couldn't rely on the coal that you burned the week before, could you? That coal the week before was not going to keep things warm. It was not going to do what it needed to do. The same in our lives. We got to keep feeding the fire. We got to keep feeding the fire, so we will not faint. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you fainting this morning? Are you ready to quit? Hey, when you go through a trial, God has it for a reason. It's not meaningless that you're going through what you're going through. God has a purpose for it. Don't faint. Oh, there's the challenge of not fainting. There's the struggle because the flesh and the world is dying. But there's the key. The key is we got to stay focused on Christ. We got to stay focused on Him and not on the mountain. We got to keep going forward. We got to realize that we need to be renewed every day. We got to realize that this is but for a moment. It's temporal. And we got to keep on keeping on for Him. Let's be encouraged this morning. Life gets hard, but God is far greater. Don't let life get you down. With God's help, let's get through this life for His honor and His glory. And let's look forward to that day that we're with Him for all of eternity. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your precious word. We ask that You just use these words in this verse and this thought here of not fainting to encourage us to keep strong. Keep living. Lord, help us to realize You have a reason and a purpose for our afflictions, and they can be light with You, and they're but for a moment, they're temporary, and You can renew us, and we need to be renewed daily. And thank You that You're always there for us. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads